And if the Lord is working in your life, and as you share, as we heard today, poems and from the Word or a testimony, we encourage you to share with us, and we will build each other in the Word. And we are in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It's towards the end of your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll be reading up to verse 3 and the first part of verse 3. I will read one verse in Portuguese and I'll ask you to read in English. 2 Peter 2, verse 1.
But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction.
Second verse.
And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed.
And now just the first part of verse 3.
By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words.
Thank you. Today, we are looking, as you can see in your bulletin, at the portrait of a false prophet. And it's amazing that false prophets do not have anything tagged on them that says, I am a false prophet. They don't look weird. They don't dress weird. They don't have a pitchfork in their hands. In his first letter, Peter wrote to the brethren and encouraged them to face external attacks, persecution, and trouble because of their faith. But in his second letter, Peter writes to the Christians to exhort and encourage them to face internal attacks, deception by error. So, if you want to define easily the difference between Peter's first letter and second letter, you could say that in the first letter, Peter states and portrays the devil as a roaring lion. But in the second letter, Peter portrays Satan as the serpent, the deceitful individual. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan infiltrates the church as it has done in the first century in the church of Corinth. And Paul says, you've been deceived, not being able to realize that those who come in the garb as angels of light are angels of darkness, and it is no wonder that Satan, the prince of darkness, transfigures, the word that many just use, transforms himself in the angel of light. Years ago, I watched a very interesting documentary in the life of the bees and about how a certain insect can actually pass through the guarding bees into the beehive, suck as much honey as this insect can, got out alive and not be killed by the bees. Now, the story goes about this special moth, and a moth is totally unlike a bee. But you notice that bees don't go out at night? They don't see that well at night, obvious. They're very busy during the day. A bee can actually fly miles during the day just foraging for pollen. They're exhausted at night. They don't see well at night. And this moth only comes in at night. Now, this moth comes in through the door. And the bees that are guarding the door don't see it at night. She smells like a bee. She makes sounds like a bee. but it's not to be. And so in the church of Christ, as the people of God sleep, this moth, these false prophets come in into the cover. As the people of God are entertained to death in their pews. So the moth goes in as a good trump, sucks as much honey as it can, looks like a big ball at the end of eating so much honey, and then the same way, smells like a bee, talks like a bee, and chow. The next morning arrives and the movie is beautiful. Because you see, the bees now wake up and they are confused as they start looking for the small cells. Where's the honey? What happened? And they start flying all over looking to see if they catch some other insect. They find nothing. It's a total chaos in the beehive. And after Satan does his work in the church of God, when the false prophets take off, they just leave behind them chaos and confused people. They have not brought any truth to them. They brought only doctrines of demons. And when they leave, the beehive, this is the church, is in chaos. Peter starts saying, there always has been false prophets, false teachers, demons dressed as angels of light, trying to enter the church of God and take up the pulpit from where they can destroy the work of God. But now Peter says something, but we'll always be. We are not amazed, as we talked about last Wednesday in our Bible study, in our study in 1 John, that according to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and chapter 18, God hated the false prophets. And when caught, the Lord says, destroy them. But today, because the gatekeepers of the church, the leaders, are sound asleep. They are more concerned with tolerance than with truth. They are more concerned with what they say, Christian love and unity, than in the truth. So these angels of darkness dressing up in angels of light continue to take over the pulpit and neutralize the power of the gospel. I've been invited to participate in many ecumenical stuff in this city. And I always say thanks but no thanks. In the name of Christian unity, we are not to sacrifice the truth. I like the saying someone stated, even a smart arrangement of rotten eggs cannot make a good omelet. A smart arrangement of rotten eggs will never make a good omelet. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Brothers and sisters, our Christian unity is based in the person and work of Jesus Christ only. There's no unity with those that are lost and without Christ. Our unity has to be based on truth, not on error. And the Apostle Paul saves no words when he talks about the teaching of false teachers. 2 Timothy 4, he calls that teaching the doctrines of demons. First point in your outline, you thought was the last one, I'm sorry. It's still the first point in your outline. the sphere of influence of these false prophets. You read on verse 1. Among you there was and there will always be false prophets. The Lord Jesus had one among the 12. His name was Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot looked like the regular apostle, to the point that the other apostles never suspected that Judas was the traitor. To Jesus was no news. He says, "Didn't I choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Judas looked like one of the apostles. Till the end, he was a false apostle from the beginning. How does the Church of Christ open its door to false prophets? When we embrace the culture around us, when we replace the teaching of the Word with entertainment, when the church becomes a social club, then the gates are open. The invitation is out for false teachers to come in. Because of that, the Word says that it's important that the local church has leaders with discernment. We learned that again studying 1 John. To learn the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Writing to Titus, Paul this, and the servant of God must know the book, the holy book, so he can resist the error. Secondly, we see their method. Still on verse 1. It says here that they secretly, like that moth under the cover of night, secretly will introduce heresies in a church. They will sneak under false pretenses. It says here that their heresies and teaching are destructive. It is, in the original, the same word used for perdition. Chapter 3, verse 7, and also verse 16. Perdition. Destruction. Thirdly, we see their abomination. It says here, and they deny the Lord that bought them. I wish I had an hour just to preach on this, because many people are twisting this word. Let's study. Denying. They will deny. The word deny literally means refusing, rejecting. And it's used in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses when it says, in Moses, when he was given the choice to be the next Pharaoh, he refused it. He rejected. He said, "No, I don't want that position." That's the same word. This word demonstrates a final decision, a continual, habitual decision of denying Jesus as Lord. Jude verse 8. You should always study 2 Peter together with Jude. Jude verse 8 has the same word. And in Jude it says, they reject authority. They reject not just human authority, but above all, God's authority. God's sovereignty over their lives. Now, the second word we're looking at is the word Lord. That should be translated master. Denying the master. The word Lord is the word master and is used at least 10 times in the New Testament with a sense of the master of the household, the one who has servants. For Peter, the great abomination of error and false doctrine is that these false teachers, with their false teaching, refuse the authority of Jesus as Lord. Can you turn your bulletin to the cover and read for me the Bible verse there?
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Let me give you the correct translation. If with your mouth you confess Jesus as Lord, if you confess Jesus as Lord, and that's what they are rejecting. They come with the Word of God, just a false pretense. But they have never accepted the Lordship of Jesus. They have never confessed Jesus as Lord of their lives. They refuse it. When Paul wrote those verses, a Roman citizen had to confess one thing. Caesar is Lord. Christians were killed by the dozens because they refused. They confessed that Jesus is Lord. If with your mouth you confess Jesus as your Lord, and in your heart you believe that God raised him from the dead, stamping that what he did on the cross was good, was enough, was perfect, and you trust on that statement, you will be saved. It is important. It says here, denying or rejecting the master who bought them. So some people twisting the scripture says, do you see, Tony? It teaches us that people who are redeemed now are lost. No, it's not teaching any of that nonsense. Neither anywhere in the Bible you read that. His salvation is perfect and depends on the Lord, not on you or me. What does it mean? We go back to the same picture. It is the household master who has servants. The servants were bought by him to serve him. Well, you read the same in Deuteronomy in regards to Israel. But some of these who call themselves servants, who benefit from the blessings of having a good master, they are cheating, deceiving, and lying to the master. They have not accepted his lordship. The point that Peter is making is that every human being should be thankful for the blessings we receive from God every day. But our attitude shows if we have not repented that we refuse his lordship. We refuse him. We reject him to lord over us, which means we are not saved. Saved at all. We all share on what is called, the reformers have called, common grace. Jesus says, when the sun comes out upon the wicked and the saved. When the rain comes down upon the wicked and the saved. This is common grace. But the point is that the lost have not accepted the fact that common grace has been given to them. They say, I earn it, I deserve it, it's my doing. God has nothing to do with this. Peter is not talking about people who repented and came to Christ. Peter is talking about people who are exposed to God's common grace. And still, they reject and they refuse him to lord over their lives. What about you? Is Christ the Lord of your life? Truly, indeed, or is just a statement out of your mouth? The next point, the fourth one, is their success. Verse 2. It says here, and many, make sure you understood that, many will follow after them. Many, and it's not many Oliveira or many Silva, thank God. Many will follow after them. And the Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, because wide is the gate that leads to perdition and hell, and many enter the wide path to hell. But narrow is the way to life, and very, very few in number enter that. False teaching is always popular, tries to swing and dance along with the culture. It's always comfortable, and it's always easy. You can read in Jeremiah chapter 6 and through the old book of Jeremiah, God sent Jeremiah to his people and said, Jeremiah, you tell my people, either you repent or you're going to go into captivity. Jeremiah is the only true prophet. And now there is tons of false prophets that come against him and come and convince the king, well, Jeremiah is very pessimistic. Oh, he's too conservative. Very pessimistic kind of guy. Don't ever listen to him. You should listen to us. Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. There will be no judgment. The king of Babylon will never take this city. And you know who the people believed? You guessed it. They believed the easy message that doesn't call for repentance. They believed the false prophet that never speaks about repentance. They believe the false message that never talks about the judgment of God upon sin. You guessed it. And in few years, I should say few months, the city was taken, the people destroyed, and went into captivity. So when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he says, Timothy, days are already upon us when people will only listen to the ones who tickle their ears. Do you know what it means? They will go round and about until they find a preacher that will tell them what they want to hear. And Paul ends up telling Timothy, but you, men of God, speak the truth in season and out of season. Don't shut up. Amen. Now you see their sensuality, their immorality on verse 2, second part. And they will follow what? Their immorality. You find that in Jude, verse 4, verse 7. So, whatever you believe in your heart, Solomon says, so you will live according to that. So, confused belief will always result in compromised behavior. Confused belief will always result in compromised conduct and behavior. So chaos is the end result of false doctrine. And we see here that the name of God, as Peter says, is put to shame by those who don't know the Lord. Because these fakes use the name of God, but they live like devils, and they bring shame to the name of the Lord. My brother, my sister, the greatest stumbling block for the lost to be saved are the ones who call themselves saved many times. Their lifestyle, their words, the way they live shows nothing about the God that they profess to believe. So my challenge to you, my brother, my sister, is that you live a life according to godliness so that the name of the Lord will not be put to shame and that your family, your neighbor who does not know the Lord may come to know the Savior. Finally, verse 6, the sixth point is their motive. And Peter says, because of greed, because of greed. Two things we saw here, their immorality and their greed. And these two things, sooner or later, will show up in the life of every false teacher. Immorality and greed. Verse 14, Peter says, they have their hearts trained in greed. They claim they're serving the true God, but they're just serving themselves and their interests. They are exploiting the sheep, not feeding the sheep. Their communication is not for the purpose of communicate, but manipulate. I love verse 3. Peter says, and they will do that with fake words. That word that you have there, deceitful words, is the word that we have in English, plastic. They will deceive you with plastic words. Do you know what? You can't imitate anything today with plastic. When we were in Pennsylvania, I was looking at something, and all of a sudden I told my wife, boy, that's a beautiful glass. I picked up, it was plastic. Plastic will imitate glass. Wood will imitate metal. Go to Hollywood and how they put all those glittering things. It's all plastic. There's no metal, there's no wood, there's nothing there. Plastic. With plastic words. Deceitful words. They look like the true thing, but they have no content. They're not. They will deceive you. I challenge you never to support the ministry that you cannot see Christ being exalted. Don't give a penny there. You'll be supporting plastic words and false teachers. Let's finish 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. There you have the portrait of a true minister. Anybody in English, please?
But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Praise the Lord. By the preaching of truth in the presence of God. There's a portrait of a true teacher of the word. We talk about false teachers. The Bible says that the Lord sent the true and good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And in John 10, he made a contrast with a false teacher. He says, the mercenary, the false one, came to destroy and take advantage of you. But you will know who is the true shepherd because Jesus says, but I came not to receive anything from you, but to give my life for my sheep. Here you have the true shepherd who loves you. And if you have not come to faith in the Lord Jesus, I invite you to do that today. Shall we stand and pray, please?